Peace. In a world where life moves 1,000 miles per hour, where so many experience violence, where anxiety and worry feel like a cloud hovering over us, God lights a candle of peace in our hearts. Just as we look forward to the day when Jesus comes again and peace is established on earth, we look back to the coming of Jesus, a newborn baby, the Prince of Peace. Peace comes in the midst of the darkness. Peace comes in the midst of our frantic, anxious world. In this season of Advent, we trust that God is never absent from us and you. And even where there is war and discord, whether between countries, within families, or within our own hearts, God is present, and with his presence comes peace. We wait together for our Savior, who will be Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
Welcome to Mountain View Church, and obviously you're all at home today, as we still have the same restrictions, and it sounds like we will for a while. I want to tell you how blessed it is that we have the team that works here. We want to thank Dave and Tom and Sarah Jane for all the work that they do so that we can continue to bring this service out to our community. I want to just welcome you now just to quiet your hearts as you prepare for worship. A reminder that this morning we will be doing communion, so if you want to have your elements ready at the end, that's when we do communion. But now let us remind ourselves that we are standing in the throne room of God. That we are standing in the throne room of God, who has invited us by peace, by shalom. He has welcomed us in, we who were literally at war with him. He has set things to right so we might enter in and be in his presence. Whether you're at home or outside somewhere or wherever you are with your family, be reminded this, that God is there with you, that he is the King of all creation. Take the time to listen to the words of the song. Let the Spirit speak to you. Listen to the words spoken and let the power of this transcendent word impact you. Listen to what Christ is saying through the sermon to you and your family. For this God wants to be known. This is the God who became fully human. And this is the only one who can bring true peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a great gift your Son, Jesus Christ, is to us. That he would be willing to come in amongst us who would hate him, spurn him, spit on him, run away from him, betray him. And he would come and speak truth, condemning sin, condemning false religion, condemning the world, so that we might actually live. Lord, today we ask you to encounter us afresh by your Holy Spirit, to breathe upon each one of us and transform us. Help us today be reminded that you are bigger than any virus, that you are bigger than any sickness, and that you are the resurrection and the life. So even if you take us home, we know that we will live forever. Lord Jesus, forgive us our sins. Forgive us when we have turned from you and looked to the idols around us. Forgive us when we have chosen violence and anger and judgment instead of peace, love, and self-control. Forgive us when we have embraced lust rather than love. Forgive us, Father, when we have not trusted you through these chaotic times. Now we ask you to breathe on us afresh. Wash us clean by your blood. And make us the people of God who shines the truth of who you are into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Every time we confess our sins, we are reminded that he is just and faithful to forgive us. So now we worship together as a forgiven community. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. come wake me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul, pour in me to
so beautiful here. I wish you guys could have joined us to hear it, but I'm sure you could hear it at home. We ask that everyone feel free to come and pray here and with us, but unfortunately we are limited. But as you can see on the slide above on your screen, if you have anything you want to pray for, prayer@mountainviewkelowna.ca, we can do it anonymously. If it's just something that's been on your heart that you just need to get out and put out there about something or a situation, we would be honored, truly honored to pray for you. So let us join together. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to each one of us. as we come before your throne by grace alone, we recognize that you have commanded us to bring our fears, our worries, our doubts, our needs before you. Because we are only truly human when we are in dependence on the one who gives life. Lord, I think of Pauline right now. I ask you to bring her your healing touch. Be with her family who cares for her and the home she stays in. I pray for David's mother as she continues to convalesce. Please bring your spirit down and touch her and keep her safe. Pray for Dale as he continues his journey, that you would give the doctors wisdom and understanding. I pray for Xander as he continues on his journey around the province working, doing what he can to bless his family. We pray that your spirit will give him an extra dose of wisdom and love. Lord, I think of those who are shut in right now, who are lonely. I ask you that by your spirit you'll touch them in a special way, that your presence will be there. And we pray that for all those people who are still working the front lines with the numbers going up, that you would protect them. May you keep them safe. And those who are in homes where it's spreading, we pray that your Holy Spirit will cover them. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. And we know that with Christmas coming, we may not meet, and we are grieving that. Lord, remind us to practice the simplicity again. To practice the truth with our immediate people that Jesus Christ, incarnate God, has come amongst us. And we can celebrate that just as much as if we had everyone in our house. Lord, may the church's witness around this be honoring to you. Now we lift up that which is on our hearts to you. Again, we thank you for your faithfulness, Father. And now we pray the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I also want to thank everyone for the continued blessing of providing for our ministry here at Mountain View. And I want to thank God for his giving to us, that we're able to continue to provide this ministry. So let's pray. We thank you, Father, for these gifts that you continue to pour about amongst us. We pray you receive them back from hearts of thankfulness to the building up of your kingdom, to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Ezekiel chapter 11, 14 through 21. Then the word of the Lord came to me, mortal, your kinsfolk, your own kin, your fellow exiles, the whole house of Israel, all of them are those of whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, they have gone far from the Lord. To you this land is given for a possession. Therefore, say, thus says the Lord, though I remove them far away among the nations, and though I scattered them among the countries, Yet I have been a sanctuary to them for a while in the countries where they've gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove from it all its detestable things and all its abominations. I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may follow my statutes and keep my ordinances and obey them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose heart goes after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads, says the Lord God. Our New Testament reading is from John chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. John chapter 16. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness. Because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of God, of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to start us with a little clip today, and I think it's an extremely powerful clip. It is a commercial, a well-done commercial, but I hope you get the truth of what's being said here.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Please meet you, Otto.
Quite me.
Los, she's called.
And soon, soon.
Powerful, and it's based on a true story, as you all know. They say that some of it's become mythological, but who knows? I imagine you remember what you do in times like that. I shared it because I actually think it's an incredible picture of what the gospel is supposed to do in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a good God, which means you are willing to convict. We pray that even this morning, you'll open our eyes and our ears wherever we are so that we may know you better and we may walk with you afresh. Amen. Well, you know the text so far, so I'm not going to have to spend too much time on it. If you've been following along at all, Jesus has let them know he's going to die. And now he does something that stretches them even farther. They thought they were going to be the winners of a messianic war. That was what their belief was, but Jesus is now telling them something quite different. He says, I have said these things to keep you from stumbling. Stumbling means to lose the faith or walk away from it. They will put you out of the synagogues, which we know happens. Indeed, an hour, and it's interesting he uses this word an hour. The hour always in John's gospel is the hour of Christ's sacrifice, but now he's putting the hour on their sacrifice. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing, by doing so they are even worshiping, offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. What a condemnation about first century Israel. We see why Jesus has said in every way, shape, and form that he has had to become Israel. And then he goes, but I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, which is the judgment on them, you may remember that I told you about them. Remember again, these disciples had no vision of failure. They had no cross. And here they are hearing these words. He says, I did not tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. In other words, Jesus was doing the stuff that needed to be done, but he is going away. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked, where are you going? Oh, they already tried to ask that, but they clearly don't understand. You'll remember Thomas. How can we know where you're going? Well, they're not even going to try and ask anymore. They have completely realized they're not getting this. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow fills your heart. I don't know what it was like to be in that room in that discussion when everything you're hearing is negative. Your hero's going to die, and you don't have a resurrection theology for him. You now are going to die. You're going to be kicked out of the community. You must understand that everything's falling apart. Is there any doubt now why they ran away? Remember, these are human beings just like you and I. Nevertheless, he says, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the paraclete in the Greek. The paraclete means the spirit or the advocate or the one that comes alongside. Will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Why is this good news? Because they can only, the 12 can follow Jesus. If the paraclete is sent, the many can become the Jesus people. And then he says things about the Spirit you don't hear a lot in charismatic churches. I know. I preached in charismatic churches. And when he comes, he will prove the world or convict the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. It's interesting. It doesn't say that the Spirit's going to come and give you a special gift so that you can feel happier or warm your heart or make your life a little better by making sure your business takes off. It doesn't actually say that at all. What it says is he's going to come and judge the world. What was Jesus doing if not judging the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment? He's just going to continue what Jesus has done. And then he says about sin because they do not believe me. Well, we have to understand what sin means. Sin means to miss the mark. And the reason that they sin, they miss the mark, that this noun is there, is because we go back to the Genesis story where the relationship was right. The only way you can bear a relation, bear a God's image is if your relationship is right. As long as you can see and do, then you can act like. But when you try and be God yourself, then you no longer believe in that God and you can only do whatever creative things come out of your mind. And thus you miss the mark. The second one is really hard for people to understand. And righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. What's he talking about, righteousness? Why would the Spirit come and convict them about righteousness? Well, as we know throughout John's Gospel, it's the religious leaders who are the ultimate enemies of God. And when he says he's out to convict them about righteousness, it's about convicting them about their idols and their false worship. That's leading to the destruction of other people. In other words, he's come to take on religion head on. And why? Because I'm going to the Father and they will see me no longer. In other words, I'm going to convict them because I'm the one that actually becomes welcomed in front of the Father, which only the righteous can, which means it's a judgment against their way of being religious. And about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. And of course, we know that to be the Satan figure, the dragon of Revelation, the one that uses manipulation and fear and violence and death to control. Because when there's a resurrection, he no longer has control. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. It's interesting. Jesus is a truth speaker. The Spirit is the truth speaker. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. It's interesting. It's this continuation. Jesus says, I don't speak anything I don't hear from the Father. The Spirit doesn't say anything he doesn't hear from the Son or the Father. In other words, when you see Jesus, you see God. When you see the Spirit, you see God. So any theology of the Holy Spirit that does not act like Jesus is a false God. And just like Jesus will only glorify the Father, he says he will glorify me. Isn't that wonderful? Because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, Jesus didn't stop at the cross and say that this means of reconciliation is ended with me. He says now it continues to go on. And declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason I said to you, he will take what is mine, the truth, forgiveness, and life. And he will declare it to you. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So why in the world are we not spending a lot more time praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us? Why is the Holy Spirit like a minor thing, maybe at the end of a service where we lay hands on somebody so that they might have a warm tummy or maybe a nice gift? Why do some churches get together and never ask for Holy Spirit's presence amongst them when it is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Father, Scripture tells us? When he's the active agent amongst us, why do we not take it serious? Because we can't control it. In most mainline churches, in fact, I'd say in most churches, the Holy Spirit has become the silent partner. He kind of sits on the sidelines while we accept Jesus or worship the Father. He is the very lifeblood of the church. He's doing the very work of Jesus Christ in our midst. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no Jesus work. Maybe it's because we've made him the silent partner that our churches are failing, that we're not seeing conviction, that we're seeing false religion, that we're seeing the world seem to win. I love this one by A.W. Tozer. He was one of those prophetic guys that never pulled a punch. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. And I don't disagree. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would notice the difference. Because we've domesticated Jesus Christ. We've made the Spirit into my individual moment of spirituality rather than what he is, the living God in our midst. You see, the Holy Spirit is misunderstood. The Holy Spirit, even in charismatic churches, I grieve, is often misunderstood as a power source, as a moment where we can have enough energy, enough faith to have something more. My friends, the Holy Spirit is God's presence amongst us. It is Jesus Christ walking amongst his lampstands. It is Jesus Christ walking in his church. Does that mean you'll get a warm tummy? I suppose that's possible. Are you going to do the funky chicken? I don't know. Are you going to speak in tongues? Maybe. But if you think that's all the Spirit is about, you've already misunderstood the power of what God wants to do. Michael Horton explains the Spirit in the Trinity like this. The Father is the origin of all things. The Son is the mediator of all things. And the Spirit is the one who brings every work of God to completion. The Spirit is the one who brings every work of God to completion. Christ is the one who leads us to the Father. The Father is the one who says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to listen to Jesus and to embrace him as a Savior. And then go out and be a different person. The Spirit does not just want to hang out in our sanctuaries on a Sunday morning to give us powerful, wonderful moments. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit, when He's moving, is the great disruptor. He takes the culture as it is and He flips it on its head. He's not just about warming your tummy. He's about taking the world and setting it to right and using broken people like me, like you. Karl Barth, speaking against Western Christianity, said, "Faith in God's revelation has nothing to do with an ideology which glorifies the status quo." When the Spirit moves, the world shakes. Because the Spirit is up and has a war with the world. You want to see a real charismatic church? They're the ones who are really acting different. So we go back. Holy Spirit, conviction of sin. That's His first thing. And it is because they didn't believe in me is why we know they need it. Conviction of our sins in our today is become so pathetic. It's become psychoanalyzed. It has become, I have a weakness. I have a struggle. No, you're an idol worshiper. You're selfish. And that's the truth. And when the Lord comes into your life, He takes these diseases and He says, yeah, you're in this spot because you don't really believe in me, because you want to be like God. You want your life to be your way and you won't listen to me, which is the healthy way. That's what conviction of sin means. When you're missing the mark and showing you don't believe in Him because you're living the opposite way, but you're trying to tell Him what's right. The greatest gift that God gives us in this world is the conviction of sin. I had a lady come into my office and she had done something. And she had tears in her eyes and said, "I don't think I'm a Christian anymore." I said, "You wouldn't be sitting here if you weren't a Christian. You just had the greatest gift God ever give you. He's convicted you of your sin." Think of those men in that war for a minute. Think of what they did to each other. Think of them throwing mustard gas at each other, blowing each other up, killing. 10 million of those men that we watched died, most of them under 22, leaving nothing but disaster behind them because they believed in things like empire and pride of country. They killed and they killed and they killed. No, when the Spirit is coming, He wants to stop that. He wants to change that so He convicts sin. And it's interesting that the one thing I've noticed with people who will stay with Christianity are those whose sins they feel convicted about. Moody said it this way, "When a man is not deeply convicted of sin, it is a pretty sure sign that he has not truly repented. Experience has taught me that men who have very slight conviction of sin sooner or later lapse back into their own life." The greatest gift we get is when we see who we're not and then embrace the one that is. And the church has died because it hasn't emphasized this, because it wants to be popular. Oswald Chambers, "Conviction of sins is one of the rarest things that ever strikes a human. It is the threshold of an understanding of God. Jesus Christ said that when the Holy Spirit came, He would convict of sin. And when the Holy Spirit rouses the conscience and brings him into the presence of God, it is not his relationship with men that bother him, but his relationship with God." The Spirit has come because He's for us to show where we are against Him. Second, He talks about the Holy Spirit as a conviction of righteousness. We've already said this is about religion gone wrong. And He says, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. His whole world was religious and they all killed Him. They all had a purpose. They all did what they thought was right. Again, go back to those guys who fought in that war. They all were Christians. You ever thought about that? That as the English would sit there before they'd go over the top, the Anglican bishops would spray the water on them. As the Germans stood there to fight them, they had God is great in their belt buckle. That's religion gone wrong. The conviction of religion gone wrong is whenever somebody takes religion and worships it above the one who's to be worshipped and destroys friends and families and relationships because of it. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, nein. He's the German for that. Blaise Pascal could not have been more true. Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do it from religious conviction. He came to take on religion, to show us that the true righteousness doesn't come through our amazing ability, our right bloodline, or our right family name, but through His sacrificial death on a cross. And how can you kill somebody who believes the same thing? Of all pride, the worst must surely be spiritual pride. For all that we have is a result of God's beneficence. Alistair Begg. Those people who stood there in those trenches had thought about it. How could they not have asked the question, what is wrong with our religion that's sitting there telling us to go and do this? Finally, the Holy Spirit brings the judgment on the world. It points out that the world's lost. Because the ruler of this world has been condemned. The ruler of this world survives on one thing. By telling us we can be like God. By telling us we can have power, that we can dominate other people. And he's lost. He's lost because there is an empty tomb. You see, fear and violence and manipulation work only through the idea that I will be killed. And that will be it. But Jesus Christ says, no, you'll be forgiven. And the tomb is empty. So the systems of this world has been tipped over its head. It has shown that the ultimate win is not those who come to crush, but the ultimate win is for those who come to redeem. And through that, the Spirit judges the world. These good-looking fellows here, that's why 10 million people died. This was the world that these people grew up in, and they all were relatives. You think your Christmas is a hard family time. They had a whole world war. All based on the world systems of power and arrogance and wealth. Jesus Christ came to condemn that and to say he's the only king. And I'll tell you what, folks, the world still is sucking into the church and it's killing us because we still buy into the same system. But our system's different now. It's about getting stuff, having stuff. Today, the greatest challenge facing American evangelicals is not persecution from the world, but seduction by the world. And I see it in the church all the time. And the Spirit now has been kind of used as an entertainment component. Come to our church and you'll have a God moment. No one ever tells them that God moment may mean you're on your face in tears because you've been convicted of being a terrible person. Or that your religion is BS. Or that the world you live for to keep your company so great is destroying and going against Jesus Christ. No, the Holy Spirit is not just about being warm and shiny and happy. The Holy Spirit is a truth teller. And when he comes in and he's really working, and he's really working in the church, the Bible comes alive because that's where he breathes. The scriptures come alive and it impacts us and we become convicted, but only for the purpose of being a different, more human, more life-giving people. People like to say we don't like the Bible because of this or that, the other truth. I like what John C. Ryle says. Be very sure of this. People never reject the Bible because they can't understand it. They understand it too well. They understand that it condemns their own behavior, their understanding, that it witnesses against their own sins and summons them to judgment. They try to believe it as false and useless because they don't like to believe it is true. And that's a great loss. And that is when they reject the Spirit. I'm not going to end on the bad news. I have to end on the good news. The fantastic news is that the Spirit has been released upon us. He's in your home right now. He's within you. And the fantastic news is God wins. We are not going to have an eternity of 10 million people dying in trenches. That's not eternity. God wins because he not only convicts, but because he wants to ultimately, through that conviction, make us a different people and show the world a different place. The roaring thunder of the law, says Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, and the fear of the terror of judgment are both used to bring us to Christ. But the final victory, culminating in our salvation, is won through God's loving kindness. He has to say no to us with our love of power and false religion and the world, so that he can say yes to us in a whole new way of being human. The Holy Spirit, then, is still here. He's still working the future to us who believe now. He's not somewhere off hiding in a corner. He is here now, and he is drawing the future, the time of the kingdom of God when it'll be full, and he's asking us to live it now and to live it seriously and be a different people. And what a great gift it is when we believe that and start walking with it. Consider how the Holy Spirit can make the Christian independent of outward circumstances, what a bright light might shine within us when it's really dark outside. The Holy Spirit is here. He's convicting us first of sin, but he wants to convict the world so they don't destroy each other. He convicts us first about religion so we don't go out and destroy other people in the name of God. He wants to convict us that the world has lost, so that we're no longer living in fear or worship of politics and political leaders and powers. The Holy Spirit is here to make us a new people of God and to knock out the walls of the world through his power. We long, all of us, for the new day. We long for the day when all of this will end. And I felt like that story I put on the beginning was a moment where I think is going to happen. When his kingdom comes, I imagine that those enemies, all us enemies, will realize it's all false. And we'll get out of the places we hide from each other and hate each other. And we'll shake hands. And we'll share our stuff. And we'll laugh. But not just for a short time, for eternity. We as the church get to start that now. And be the first ones out of the trench. God is the one who satisfies the passion for justice, the longing for spirituality, the hunger for relationship, the yearning for beauty. And God, the true God, is the God we see in Jesus of Nazareth, Israel's Messiah, the world's true Lord. This is going to happen. He wins. Let's embrace the Spirit. Let's embrace his presence and be a forerunner of what's to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that you are full of love and kindness and tender mercy. Holy Spirit, come. Convict us of sin first and then convict the world. Convict us of our righteousness gone wrong so that we can honor Jesus Christ as the true Lord and the Father. And convict us that the world's already lost and that you've already won. And this Christmas, remind us that that birth is the true kind of peace, a peace that only God can bring. Amen. Welcome everybody who believes that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior to come to this table by grace and to come and share with us wherever you are. Where two or more are gathered, there he is with us. And I would remind you, the truth is that his spirit is amongst us, and he is, as Calvin said, his spirit is in these elements, giving them life. Now, before we pray, we always do the Apostles' Creed. So we share this and we say this out loud, and please join us at home, as a reminder of, as a community, what we believe together and what we're doing today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that these elements represent the sacrifice you gave us and the atonement. That these elements are there to refresh us today by your presence. And that these elements are the promise of a feast in eternity with you and with the great crowd of witnesses. Please, breathe upon them and give us life. Amen. And on the evening that the Lord died, he broke the bread, saying, "This bread is my body broken for you. Take in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Take in remembrance of me." As Paul says, we eat of this bread and we drink of this cup until our Lord returns. And the good news, my friends, is he is going to return. Amen.
And in the darkness, we were waiting without hope and without light. Till from heaven you came running, and there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the laws and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for in heaven in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father were restored. And the church of Christ was born. With the flame, now this the gospel told, shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Invite you to go and embrace the Holy Spirit. Invite him into your life. Let him clean you. Let them challenge your false visions of God. Allow him to show you how the world has been defeated. For all of that will change you, and it will give you courage to be a different people. A people of the future. A redeemed people. And on that day when you run into him face to face, you will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.